We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home on a Friday evening. Put that in the checkmark box, Dylan. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mm-hmm. All right, youngster. Yep. I see you, youngster. All right, we got one checkmark for Dylan. He's learning. Listen, it's been good so far. He's been fine. No problems, no issues. Hanging out on this Friday evening, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there, as always. Of course, don't forget to download the radio.com app. We ask you to do that because, well, of course, that's the way you listen to the radio station when you're not in your car. And we know you're not spending as much time there, but you want to listen to the radio station. Make it easy on yourself. Download the radio.com app. You've got these devices, right? Like you keep your Alexa speakers and your tablet, and you got your smartphone, and you got your Commodore 64, and you got your Laserdisc, and you got your Coleco, and your Game Boy, and your Intellivision. Just download it onto some kind of device that you have so that you can always catch us on the go. Social media at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, available to you on all of the different platforms. The best way to be a part of the show, it's through my personal Twitter handle. Feel free to reach me. A couple of people just jumped on and started following me. Thank you for all of that. Appreciate the new followers out there. Hit me up. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. This, of course, is your nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. So, ESPN has been putting together their 10 best lists by position. They've been doing tight ends this week. They had the quarterbacks this week. We didn't go over that list. They did not have Matt in the top 10. They had, you know, names like Carson Wentz and all the nothing that he's won. I don't even know who the other guy. I think Stafford might have been on the list and this, that, and the other. So, all right. I mean, what are the Falcons? Since 2008, the sixth winningest franchise or something like that? Sixth or eighth winningest franchise in all of NFL? Something like that? So, anyway. So, today they came out with their list of the top wide receivers in the NFL. And what they're doing is they're asking more than 50 league executives, coaches, scouts, and players to help stack up the top 10 players at 11 different positions. Now, there will be no special teams. But they say, here's how it worked. Voters give their 10 to 15 players at a position. Then we compiled the results and ranked candidates based on number of top 10 votes, composite average, interviews, and research. We had several tiers, so we broke them by isolating the two-man matchup with additional voting and follow-up calls. Each section is packed with quotes and nuggets from the voters on every guy. Okay, so with the wide receivers, Odell Beckham Jr. comes in at number 4. DeAndre Hopkins comes in at number 3. Michael Thomas comes in at number 2 for the New Orleans Saints. And coming in at number 1, it's that dude, it's that guy, Julio Jones. His highest ranking, of course, number 1 amongst these people. Lowest ranking, this is fascinating. Somebody had Julio Jones, okay, the lowest rank that Julio got on somebody's list was 7th. Now, Let me see if I can put this into context or make it a little bit easier or what have you. If you think Julio Jones is only the seventh best wide receiver in the NFL, you should never play football, talk football, comment about football, coach football, scout football. The commissioner should step in, whoever you are, and bar you for life from ever talking about football. Okay? You think I give you ham and egger, hominy and grits, types of takes and stuff like that. Okay? If you have Julio Jones seventh on your list, I could see if you said second or third. Okay? Would I think that that's kind of crazy? Yes. But still, let's say if even some guys had him second or third, they said Hopkins is better, Thomas is better. Okay. Seventh? What exactly do you see in other receivers that would tell you that there are six guys better than Julio Jones today in the NFL? Because that's what this is. Today, not tomorrow, not next week, not in 4 years, not, you know, half a century ago. Today. The expectation entering the voting was that this would be close between Jones, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins. It wasn't. More than half the voters selected Julio Jones number one overall. One NFL coordinator said, quote, he's an avatar. There's only one of him. It says Jeremy Fowler, and we've had him on the show before, polling a panel of more than 50 coaches, executive scouts, and players, came up with the top 10 rankings. We already got all that. It says he's still got elite size and breakaway speed. He can win on all three levels. One quarterback in the NFL said, quote, every time we're scouting receivers, that's the one we want. He has everything. They say his only true weakness, he's 31. Now, we've said before that what would Julio Jones be, you know, when he got into his early 30s? Would he be a, you know, a regular 31? Would he be an older 31? You know, and that's why these next couple of years are very fascinating to see what Julio Jones still has out there. You know, is he an old 31? Meaning that, you know, he's 31, but with the beat-up factor, maybe there's not as many great years left for him. I don't know. I don't want to think that way because I don't want to think about life without Julio, but once again, this goes back to that's why you have to capitalize while you've got your guys here. You don't get Julio forever. You don't get Matt forever. You don't get those guys forever in a day. Got to take advantage of it now. There's a few quarterbacks that say they'd rather play Jones than, say, Shaka at the line guy like Hill or Adams. One coordinator said Jones is amazing, but only for 60% of the snaps. Now, that has been the knock on Julio Jones is, why is he not higher up in snaps played? That's been the one thing that I've critiqued and said, why is it at times when it's third and five, he's not on the field? Or it's third down in the red zone, and he's not on the field. Explain that one to me. One longtime NFL assistant said, quote, he can still get the DBs to turn their hips better than anyone, but is he approaching the end? Well, that's the million-dollar question, right? That's why when people say, oh, we can't talk Super Bowl and this, that, and the other, when do you want to do it? When Julio leaves? When he retires? Is that when we can start talking? When we no longer have 11 on the field? Oh, now we can talk about it. Oh, okay. When Matt's 37, 38, what's the criteria for when we can talk about these things? Just out of curiosity, help me understand and figure all of this out. All right, so one of the NFL writers for CBS Sports has put out his rankings of edge players and interior defensive linemen, okay? Ranking the top 10 edge rushers, the top 10 interior defensive linemen. This is from Ryan Wilson, their NFL writer for CBS Sports. Now, I'm going to start with the defensive interior lineman first, okay? So when you look at that list, okay, Javon Hargrave, number 10, J.J. Watt at number 9. Calais Campbell at number 8. Cam Hayward at 7. DeForest Buckner at 6. Fletcher Cox at 5. Grady Jarrett at number 4. Signed a 4-year, $68 million deal before the season. There's no doubt he was worth it. He ranked 4th among all interior defensive linemen, according to PFF grades. He's up one spot from a year ago. So last year, 5th. This year, 4th. So, again, I'll keep going back to, you know, certainly this team has to be better along both lines of scrimmage. Okay, here's a good place to start. They have the 4th best tackle in football. Oh, okay. Is that a good place to start? You have the 4th best interior offensive lineman in the NFL. If I tell any team in the league that one of the places you can start building your team is with the 4th best defensive lineman in the NFL, think teams would take it? Or they say, nah, you know, we don't want guys like that. Why would we want guys who are on the interior defensive line that are really good at stuffing the line of scrimmage, really good at sacking the quarterback, really good at getting the backfield? Why would we want a game wrecker like that? Nah. Now, I'd rather have a nice safety. Give me a good punter. Okay? So, there you go. By the way, the 3 guys ahead of him, Kenny Clark, Chris Jones, and who's this guy? Aaron Donald. Oh, okay. All right. I guess he's good. I don't know. Whatever. All right. I kid. I tease. That's called sarcasm out there. We know he's arguably one of the 3 or 4 best football players in all of the NFL. All right, edge rushers. Nick Bosa at 10. Khalil Mack at 9. Za'Darius Smith at 8. Daniel Hunter at 7. Shaquille Barrett at 6. Joey Bosa at 5. Cam Jordan at 4. Chandler Jones at 3. Myles Garrett at 2. And T.J. Watt at number 1. How about that? By the way, they say that he may have surpassed his brother as being the better defensive player out there. Now, obviously, you know, our guy that was signed here in Atlanta, Dante Fowler, not in the top 10. So the question then becomes this. Where does Dante Fowler fit? Is he a top 10 pass rusher? Is he a top 15 pass rusher? Top 20? I think if you said Dante Fowler is in the top 15 among pass rushers, okay, I can buy that. You know, is he top 10? Probably not better than some of those guys that are on that list. He's not top 5, we know that. Top 10, you know, maybe he'd sneak in at 10. But certainly I think top 15, right? I think you'd say top 15 edge rushers. Okay, I'd buy into that for a guy who looks like, you know, the upside is still there. Now listen, he has another big year this year. Say he puts up another dozen sacks this year, and now he's, you know, whatever, 23 sacks in 2 years. Okay, now he's going to move himself up to some of the better defensive linemen, edge rushers in the NFL. Now he may get into that top 10, okay? And obviously he's going to be here for a while. It's not as though he's, you know, leaving this team and leaving this franchise and all of those things. He's going to be here for a while. So if you say the Falcons have a top 15 edge rusher, a top 4 tackle, tax what? Maybe a top 80 edge rusher? You have a young upstart promising rookie in Marlon Davidson. Hopefully it means better times are ahead, because their defensive line has got to get it done this year. They've got to be able to sack the quarterback. They've got to be able to get in the backfield. They've got to be able to make some big plays. They've got to be able to do all of those things. Their defensive line has to make a lot of impacts in games this year. They can't disappear and take time off. All right, when we get back, it will be time for That's Life. At least it was a strong day on the market. And I'm going to talk about one of the stock tips that I gave you, because there was a lot of good news today that's really driving it upward. We'll talk about all that next, and that's life. It is the John Chuckwood Show. Hanging out with you on Sports Radio, and that's on the game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it on the John Chuckery Show, 9:21 Friday evening. I mean, you know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there, of course. Don't forget social media at 929 The Game. Follow me at JMCH316. Of course, the radio.com app, you need to have that because, well, that's how you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle, and we know you want to listen to it. So, all right, a few things to get into here with you tonight. So a good day on Wall Street today. It's strange how the way the market has performed. It seems like one day the Dow is up, then the NASDAQ is down. Then the next day the NASDAQ is up and the Dow was down. NASDAQ's been performing miraculously this year. They've been up over 10,000 and staying there. They've really done well on the NASDAQ. But good day today. We needed that today. I mean, this it's been some rough days here and there, but by and large, you know, overall it's been very successful this far. Now, one thing I will mention. We talked about this stock when I first bought it, okay? And I think I bought this thing about a month or month and a half ago, maybe about 4 or 6 weeks ago that I bought this particular stock. But EVRI, okay? And I bought it for, I think it's like $4.20 a share. I think I bought them at $4.20. It had dropped, I think the lowest point it hit was somewhere maybe around $3 or a little bit less, maybe a little bit less than $3. But I bought it at like $4.20. I gobbled up some shares. I think it was like 25 or 30 shares of it that I picked up on. But they have been red hot the last couple of days. Today, they were up over 30% today. Now, they had struggled a couple weeks ago. They were struggling some. Now, if you don't know what EVRI is, I explained this before. EVRI is basically a lot of the technology that casinos use, and it's things like video poker games and stuff like that, okay? Well, there was an analyst, I guess he's one of the top guys on Wall Street, that was really putting over EVRI, saying that this is one of the best bets over the next couple of years, that EVRI is going to be in at least 70% of all the casinos across America. So they said they are the dominant force in video gaming and some of the other technology that goes into casino games. And they said the target price, which means this is what they think the stock will be trading for in the next 12 to 18 months, they said the price is expected to be over $17 a share. They said on the low end, they expect $10 to $12. On the high end, they're saying $17 a share. Now, if that's the case, man, I'll clean up. So if you're looking for something that is getting huge must-buy marks right now, and we talked about this, you know, and I think it traded, like I said, it was over 30% it moved up today. I forget what it closed at. I want to say it's still under $7 or something like that. I think it may be somewhere like closer to $6 a share, okay? So it's still a fairly good price, especially even if it gets to $10 or $12, and hell, if it goes up to $17. But hell, even at $10 or $12, you know, I stand to make 250-300% on that stock. I think you take that, right? Because tell me what bank you can put your money in and they'll give you 300% return. That'd be none. You can't even get that from Vito Bag of Donuts down on the corner throwing bones against the wall. You can't get those kinds of odds because you got some guy mush that's got to go in the other room because you can't watch his face while you're tossing the bones. So just a tip, just a something to consider, you know, out there is if you were looking for something to buy into that got a massive push today. And by the way, there's another, I think it's called the Motley Fool, that they do a lot of stock reviews and things like that to it. They have their number one stock to buy that's under $4 is the one that I bought way back when. I gobbled up like 40 shares of it, called Eros, E-R-O-S. That's one of those ones we talked about that I bought. What are they? They're the Bollywood studios. So those the Indian film studio, the Bollywood studios, that's what Eros is. And I guess the reason why is because one is they just partnered up with Dish Network to release their catalog on the Dish Network, I guess whatever, streaming or whatever Dish Network. Now, I've had Dish in the past, so I don't know. I think this is like, you know, they have streaming and stuff, I'm guessing, like Netflix and things like that. But they have over 12,000 movies available that you can pull through Dish Network. And then they just signed a partnership that just got approved today. This had come back about a month or 6 weeks ago, that their merger with another entertainment company, STX, was approved today, I guess, by what, the FTC? I guess that's who, right? Isn't it the Federal Trade Commission that approves those mergers and stuff like that? So I'm now up on that stock. My return is 154% return on that stock. I bought that stock for a buck. I paid $1.70 for that stock. And it's not quite four. It trades slightly under $4 now. But I bought it for $1.70 a share. So just, you know, listen, I keep saying I'm trying to find that one thing to hit on, man, that I can make a few bucks off of. Since, you know, we don't do promotions and commercials and sponsors and all that kind of stuff on the radio. I'd love to find the next Amazon or something like that out there, the next Tesla or whatever that is out there. Because Lord knows, man, daddy needs a break, man. Daddy needs a break from two full-time jobs a day. All right. Today is July 10th, right? 2020. Anybody know what happened that's tied into Atlanta 35 years ago today? Dylan, any guesses? Have you seen this news story? Any guesses back there at the studio about what happened 35 years ago today based around an Atlanta company?
Not a clue.
Okay.
I'm a little too young, John. A little too young.
All right. Yeah, listen, you're probably not even 35 years old. I've got underwear older than you. But anyway, 35 years ago today, Coca-Cola switched back from New Coke to Old Coke. So if you're, you know, Dylan's age, okay, you probably don't even remember that there was something called New Coke. You may have read a story about it. You may have, like, blown dust off of an encyclopedia and read a story about it. That, you know, that Coca-Cola in the mid-80s changed their formula. Okay? And I think if help me remember out there. Didn't they have, like, Bill Cosby doing the ads and trying to sell you on New Coke, right? Now, listen, when I bring up the name Bill Cosby in 2020, it has a totally different connotation than anybody who would have brought him up in 1985. Because in 1985, he may have been the most popular American in the country. I don't know that I'm being overstating that. He may have been the most popular person in America in 1985. He was the guy beloved, trusted, all of that. And I believe they brought him right into the marketing campaign for New Coke, which was a disaster. I still to this day don't understand why Coca-Cola decided to change their formula for it. But that was, let me tell you, that is maybe the biggest marketing disaster in history for a product. What's a bigger product disaster than New Coke? Because think about, you know, Coca-Cola numerous times in marketing studies has always finished number one as the most recognized brand symbol on planet Earth. It's like Coke, Nike, they're usually always 1 and 2. Okay? So think about it. Coke is oftentimes listed as the most recognized branded product on Earth. Not just in America. I'm talking on planet Earth. In any part of the globe, you could go and people know what Coca-Cola is. That's how huge they are. And they went in 1985? Did they change the formula in 85 or did they do it in 84? I don't remember the timeline on all that. But today in 1985 is the day that they said, you know what? We screwed up. We effed it all up. We're switching back to our regular formula. And as Robert De Niro said in Casino, and why mess with a good thing? So think about that. Now, Dylan, did you know that there was a different Coke formula back in the mid-80s? Have you ever heard of people talk about new Coke? Have you ever heard of that before?
I have, actually. It's funny you mentioned that because I think even my grandparents, my mom were talking about it one time a while back ago. But yes, I did know. I forgot about it, but I did know that there was a new Coke.
Okay, so that's good. See, so at least younger people have heard of the fact that there was a change in Coca-Cola. And it's listen, I obviously wasn't in Atlanta in 1985, okay? I would imagine in this town that was like fighting words. You know, do you like old Coke or new Coke? I would imagine if you were somebody who liked new Coke in Atlanta back then, that you probably lost a lot of friends. You probably spent a lot of nights alone at that point. Because I don't know, honestly, I don't know anybody who preferred, and look, I was up in Ohio, obviously. Hell, I was, 1985, Hell, I was in eighth grade. I wasn't even in high school yet. I was in the eighth grade in 1985. I didn't like New Coke. I don't know anybody that thought New Coke was a good thing. I don't know anybody that... I'm sure Atlantans probably know better why they decided to change the formula, what made them decide to go with New Coke and do all of that. I can't even imagine what the thought process was. But luckily, they saw the error of their ways and they corrected it, you know, pretty quickly and went back to the old Coke. And the rest, as they say, is history. But yes, what a milestone today when you talk about. Events that center and base themselves around Atlanta. New Coke goes away today. I can't think of a product, honestly, that, and I'm sure there's probably some out there, somebody will tell me, but I can't honestly think of a product that made a bigger blunder than New Coke. Like, there's got to be some, like, I'm not talking about going out, like, you know, the Edsel going out of business. I'm talking about there had to be some kind of product that made some kind of change that was universally just panned and hated and then had to, you know, go back to its original form. Why would you mess with a good thing? I mean, other than understand, I guess they don't have the, you know, cocaine or whatever like some of the original formulas had as a medicine and things like that. But what a disaster that is out there. So... All right, don't forget, too, coming up later on tonight, we're asking you to help us in rank him. Of course, Dylan is in for Jarvis tonight. He'll be back on Monday. Jarvis just taking some Fridays off over the next few weeks. He'll miss the next few Fridays with us here. So we're incorporating Dylan into rank him. So I've asked him to put together some questions, but we're going to ask you for your help as well on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line on my Twitter page. I know some of you always put some up there, and we've gotten a few actually in already. So leave us a rank 'em for tonight, and we'll have some fun with that as we always do on Friday night in our last full segment to close out the week. But when we get back a little bit earlier tonight as Atlanta United gets ready to start back up, MLS is back, competition tomorrow night. Atlanta United takes on the New York Red Bulls. All the action right here on Sports Radio 910 The Game at 8 o'clock. Jason Longshore and Mike Conney with the call. Jillian Sakovic joined us. Of course, the host and sideline reporter for Atlanta United for Fox Sports South. We'll let you hear what she had to say as her and I broke it down. It's all next. It is the John Chakra Show. Hanging out on a SmackDown Friday. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on your radio.com app. weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you'd like to leave us a comment, feel free to do it there. Don't forget the radio.com app. That's how you listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle, so keep that handy on one of your devices. Social media at 929 The Game. Reach myself, it's at JMCH316. Tomorrow night, Atlanta United back in action, taking on the Red Bulls. The MLS's back tournament will continue to roll along as Atlanta United. All your action, of course, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Jason and Mike on the call. We head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. You can hear her as one of the co-hosts of the MLS Call-Up podcast. Of course, you can see her. She's one of the hosts and sideline reporters for Atlanta United on Fox Sports South. Jillian Sakovich joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So first, Jillian, belated birthday wishes to you. Number two, appreciate you being on the show with us. And three, give everybody an update as to how you're feeling. Of course, you were diagnosed with the COVID-19. So tell us how you're feeling, how's the recovery been, and hopefully you are well.
Oh, you're so sweet. Always good to talk to you, especially hanging on a Friday night before Atlanta United kicks back off. So thank you for having me. And I am really well. It's been a few months now of just really feeling like myself again, feeling good. And thank you for asking.
Well, certainly tomorrow night will be lots of fun. You know, Jillian, I said, you know, what's really nice, I think, for fans tomorrow night is in here in Atlanta. Let's focus on the Atlanta part of it. It's just the fact that we've had NASCAR and golf and things like that back, and those are kind of, you know, individual things. But now we finally get one of our teams. You know, now we finally get a team, and I think, you know, I would bet that the viewership of Atlanta for this thing tomorrow night is going to be really some staggering numbers, because I think as a community we're ready to get back and have somebody collectively that we can root for.
You bet. And that's exactly it. For Atlanta, for the city of Atlanta, this will be the first team sport to return. It's so exciting. And I mean, just look at the time slot that it got. It's not on FS1. It is on Big Fox. It is prime time. It's Saturday night. You know, I think the league and the broadcast partners, when they looked at who week one was going to have, you know, you want to have Atlanta United as that primetime spot. They really couldn't have gotten a better slot. You know, to beat the Heat in Orlando, these games are at early morning, 9 a.m., and then they are late night, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock at night. So just look at Atlanta's time slot, you know, getting that 8 p.m. slot on a Saturday night. The ratings are going to be great, and I know, like, I'm getting ready for it as if I'm broadcasting the game, and I'm not. I can't wait.
Jillian, it's a different look at Atlanta United. And, of course, when we last left Atlanta United, they were, of course, breaking in several new pieces. But then Yosef Martinez, of course, is out. How do you think Atlanta United is approaching a tournament like this? I mean, yeah, everybody wants to win the thing, but there are bigger fish to fry at the end of the day. I mean, in trying to get this team together, how do you think Frank DeBoer and this organization is approaching what they want to get accomplished out of this thing?
Two things I really think Atlanta United fans should feel very good about. There are four teams in this tournament that are heading into it that have all 6 points. And only one of them is Atlanta United. This is the first year that Atlanta United won their first two games of the season. And, you know, they had to do it in game two without Yosef Martinez. Now, look, I've talked to a lot of people about this, and you can't overlook the power of Yosef Martinez, but LAFC is without Carlos Vela. So the last two league MVPs are not playing in this tournament. Minnesota United is without the reigning defender of the year in Eichel Parra. There are some headlining big names that are missing this tournament, but that, I think, opens up a fantastic opportunity for like a Pity Martinez to kind of become the star of this tournament, because he was asked about that yesterday and he said, you know, I'm not here to be a star in the league. I'm not here to be a star in the tournament. I'm here to be a star teammate. And of course, that's a fantastic answer and that's what you want to hear. But I think that there is a real opportunity here for Atlanta United to make a heck of a statement with some of their newer guys, or maybe guys we haven't seen their potential yet. And then you look at their manager and Frank DeBoer. This is a World Cup style format. And you mentioned the format. You have Thierry Henry, coach of the Montreal Impact, played in the World Cup. I think for the managers and players that have had to play in this type of format, it's huge. And you've got Frank De Boer, who's had to play in two of them.
Jillian Sakovic joins us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Of course, Atlanta United host for Fox Sports South and co-host of the MLS Call-Up podcast. I'm glad you brought up PT Martinez because great minds think alike here, Jillian. We were talking about this the other night and the fact that, you know, if you look at the year two, if you look at Josef Martinez from year one to year two and the jump in goals, if you look at Carlos Vela in the year one to year two jump in goals. Now, I'm not saying PT Martinez is going to suddenly be a 38 or 40 goal scorer, but I really do think that I think one of the underrated parts of PT Martinez is just really how much transition and flux his entire life was thrown into, coming to a new country, new team, new league, new coach, you know, everything. And he's still a very young man. I mean, trust me, I'd love to be that young again in life. But I do think now that he's had a full year to do this, I do think that there is a very good opportunity for him to really – take the mantle of being that dominant goal scorer for this team and really make that second year jump like we've seen some of these top guys in MLS do.
And Barco would be another prime example of that. You know, if it wasn't for having to go to the U-20 World Cup and miss a significant amount of time last year, over a month due to that, and then injuries, I think we were by all accounts ready to see next level Barco. You know, the Barco that had all the pressure of what at the time was a record transfer deal. And that is the transition. It's a new league. It has an insane amount of travel that you don't get in other countries. It's a new language. It's you have to give guys time. Pity Martinez impressed me so much yesterday in the Zoom call that we had with him in saying that he was approached by Frank De Boer and Carlos Bocanegra about, like, we need you. And I don't know if this was in the absence of Josef Martinez or if this was just being that he is Pity Martinez and brings an incredible amount of talent and experience along with him. But he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to step up. I'm ready to be a leader. I want to be that unifying force to get the South American guys and the other guys all on the same page. I want everyone to feel comfortable. And for me, I think that that is going to speak volumes in a place that is going to be very mentally challenging, like living in a bubble. All these guys are away from their families. They're all nervous. And for Pity to want to step up like that, and, you know, Pity will tell you and the club would tell you, yeah, okay, we didn't see the full Pity Martinez that we know exists, but you got to give the guy time, like you mentioned. And I think Orlando is a great stage for him. And if you look at the last two MLS games that they played, the only two MLS games that they played, the way Pity and Barco were connecting should have Atlanta United fans feeling really confident, and I don't see why that doesn't carry over.
You know, Jillian, the thing I've always said about Josef Martinez that I think is the greatest thing about him is the fact that he's been the ultimate, when there's an emergency, break the glass, and there's Josef, and he'll pluck us out of the fire. And you know, that's a rare trait when you feel like you always have a guy that no matter what the situation is, he can bring you right back in. My question is, do you think Frank De Boer maybe pulls it in a little bit, maybe plays a little bit closer to the vest because he doesn't have a guy that even if they get down a goal, you feel like, okay, he can just, you know, he can pick something clean. We never have to worry because we've always got that guy. How do you think the approach is from Frank De Boer as he goes into this?
You know, I think that has been a big question heading into this tournament because guys have not had the amount of training and practice that they'd usually have, aside from not having Josef Martinez. They are in different conditions. The humidity and heat in Orlando looks insane, as we all know. Orlando can be in the middle of the summer. So I think, unfortunately, in week one, we saw this in the Orlando-Miami game. I think tactics a little bit go out the window. Fatigue plays a role, but we've seen goals. And I don't think that Frank De Boer is going to play it shy. I think he's really confident in guys like Pity and Barco to step up. You know, you're going to need a new striker. Josef Martinez isn't there. So while Frank could play it safe, you know, having a back line with guys like Miles Robinson, LGP's replacement in Fernando Meza, I don't think that Frank De Boer is going to want to just sit back when you have a team like Atlanta United. I think we're still going to see that aggressive goal scoring kind of identity that Atlanta fans love about this team that we saw hints of a lot last year, you know, when the offense was clicking.
Jillian, as we look at this tournament, of course, you know, goaltending always a key factor in these things. But when you have a team that hasn't had a chance to play a lot together, when you have a lot of guys that haven't had a lot of, you know, chance to play and train as it is, how much more of a premium and how much of an advantage does having that stabilizing force of Brad Guzan mean to a team like Atlanta United going into a tournament like this?
Brad Guzan cannot be underestimated in how important he is to Atlanta United on so many levels. Brad is one of the guys I probably know better just because he's been a mainstay on the team, and he's a leader, right? I mean, you don't play with the U.S. men's national team and play in World Cups and not become a leader. He's also one of the older guys on the team, which I know he wouldn't be thrilled about me pointing out. But he brings that experience. He started his career. Now it looks like he'll, you know, likely end his career in Major League Soccer. So he's great for explaining the league, knowing the league. And then on the field, this guy was tied with the most amount of clean sheets last year with Bill Hamid of DC United. So having Brad as the anchor in the back, as the wall in the back, it's exciting, and Atlanta United fans should feel really, really lucky that we have Brad. I'll miss the goos. We won't hear it. But I'm really excited to see Brad Guzan back out there.
With about 45 seconds left, Jillian, as we wrap up,
sure.
It was a little bit weird watching Orlando and Miami that first night, just getting used to the idea. I joked about it felt like, and I was on air, so we didn't hear, but it felt like, you know, a high school game on a Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday night, you know, or like 4 o'clock in the afternoon when parents are still working and not as many people can get there. It kind of had that kind of feel. So what did you think about just kind of watching and saying, oh, man, there's no crowds, there's no chance? It was a little bit different to watch it the other night.
Well, Fox Sports, so that game was on ESPN, and ESPN, 2DNA, and Fox are splitting up the broadcasts over the next 4 weeks. But I don't know if this is a good or bad news. I'm getting like a gazillion responses on Twitter. But Fox announced that they're going to pump in crowd noise, that's Fox's route. ESPN did not go that route. Frank DeBoer joked with me, oh, I'm going to have to watch what I say, a few days ago when we didn't know this. But it's looking like in the game tomorrow night that Fox is going to be pumping in that crowd sound. So we'll have to see if we recognize it, if it's generic or is it from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, some of it, like some of it from Red Bull Arena. We'll have to find out, but it will sound a little bit different from what I'm reading.
You can follow her on Twitter. She's at Jillian Sakovitz. And, of course, you can hear her. She's the co-host of the MLS Call-Up podcast. And, of course, you always watch her when she is on Fox Sports South. She is the host and sideline reporter for Atlanta United and joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Jillian, really appreciate the time. Be well. Take care of yourself. And enjoy tomorrow night. I know we're all looking forward to it. And finally something that, like we said, the town can kind of rally around and give us a chance to have something to break down, at least, for goodness sakes.
Oh, absolutely. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Is that coming up next? We get back from the top of the hour. It will be time for our NFL squib kick. Get to all your news in the NFL. This is the John Chuckery Show. Coming to you here on Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.